money. And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. And all jazzed up with super coffee. Sitting to my left is Becky Ivins. Good morning, Becky.
We joined Costco and found super coffee, and I'm going, okay, now I could just have one coffee and get all the caffeine of four. So
I think at the news break at the bottom of the hour, I kind of expect you to be doing some kind of tap dancing routine
there
on top
go.
Of the table. Or
dancing on the table.
That's it. Thanks for joining us, whether you're listening through KTOK or by the iHeartMedia app, or you're listening by podcast. There's a lot of ways to listen to this program, and we have many people who choose different varieties and to join in.
We're going to be covering today a few different items that we've really not talked about before, so this will not be a repeat subject, but we have with us
Dean Riddell from SWBC Mortgage, our money man. How are you doing, Dean?
Good morning, Mark and Becky. How are you guys?
Doing well. We also have
Matt McLean. From SWBC Mortgage. How are you doing, Matt?
Fantastic. Thanks for having me.
Good.
And you would think we're just going to talk about mortgage, but there's some odd things happening in our market. We have a lot of out-of-state buyers coming into Oklahoma, a lot. And they come in and they're going, I mean, we had one, remember our lady this week that was, I don't want to say her name, but the... She was coming from Texas.
She was coming from Texas, which it seems to be a lot that we're having from Texas, from
California
is big. I have another one from Arizona. They're going to be coming
back.
We
have a Missouri coming in. We all got all these referrals this week from out-of-state realtors saying, can you help my client?
Right.
That I'm selling their house here, or I've sold their house here, and they need to buy, and they're wanting to go to Oklahoma. People don't even know what part of Oklahoma they want to go to. They just say, well, that's the first question we ask them, right?
Right.
What area are you looking to buy in? And they're going, well, I don't know. We're just Oklahoma. We're going, well, we cover central Oklahoma. We have our counterpart in Tulsa that covers the Tulsa, greater Tulsa area. Uh-huh. We've got someone in Lawton that covers the greater, you know, that part area. But they don't know where they're going to. They just want to move to Oklahoma.
I have a wonderful buyer he lives in Missouri. He is... currently with his brother in South Carolina, but they want to live in Oklahoma, so he can be kind of, it's in between where both of his kids are, and it's really, he put an offer in on a home in Choctaw, and there was multiple offers on it.
You were smart on that one, weren't you?
It's called an escalation addendum on it, which is
the escalation clause says, I will pay the offer says, I'll pay $165,000 for this home. And then there's an addendum that says, I'll pay $1,000 more or whatever amount of money more than the highest offer on this house. Up to a maximum
up
of
to
this much.
X say amount.
Maybe up to a maximum of 180.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'll pay as much as $5,000 over appraisal cost, which means you got to come up with $5,000 in cash to buy that. And then I had one that did that and then also said, and we'll pay $1,000 of the seller's closing cost. How crazy is that? Yeah. And we will buy as is.
Wow.
It is competitive. And
it is very competitive.
You've got to have a realtor that knows what's going on, that's for sure.
And you have to know that the buyer situation's unique, the seller situation's unique, and you just have to form the best game plan to give you the best shot at getting the house that fits you. And one of the pieces of that is having a good partner on your loan. Who you get a loan with matters.
Well, and Dean, these people coming in from out of state, some of them don't realize you actually have to have income in Oklahoma. You can't depend on your income from California to carry you through and qualify for a loan, right?
That happens common. I'm going to jump back on one of your out-of-state. Blake has one.
Uh-huh.
And so, I mean, this is an unusual. She's living in Texas, has sold in Texas, is buying in Oklahoma, second home. She has family up here, so she wants to come spend time in Oklahoma. So she has no primary residence in Texas outside if she's renting, or she may be living with her sister. But we're treating Oklahoma as a second home, so I can still use her income in Texas.
Huh.
Okay.
That's pretty clever.
So her response was, "But I don't have a primary home," and she doesn't. But in our world, lending wise, Oklahoma can be treated as a second home, even though she's renting or living with sister in Texas, because her employment is in Texas.
Because now people who can work from home. Can work from home in any state, likely. And so we have a grandchild that was working in Albuquerque. And she ends up coming to Oklahoma because she works from home anyway. And the supervisor said, we need to have you do this additional training, and you're going to need to come in for that. And she's like going, what do you mean come in? I live in Oklahoma. I'm not in Albuquerque. And so it was not okay with them, even though she was told it was okay with them, that she can work from home so long as it's in Albuquerque. So now there's no income. But she'll get another job. That's not a big deal. But if she'd been trying to qualify for a home, that would have been a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, and 13, 14 months ago, roll the clock back, the remote wasn't or isn't what it is today. So today, has become so common that we have to ask and do. We need a letter from your employer that says Becky is able to work, perform her job in Oklahoma, similar to New Mexico.
Right.
Her position, salary, title, what's it going to be in Oklahoma that she can work remotely?
And one of the questions on there, I think, on employment, because I filled these out for my own employees, I think it says something about what's the likelihood that they're mm-hmm. going to continue
right.
to have employment.
Correct. But my point on that is it's more prevalent today. So in our world, it's more acceptable for employees to work remotely. So 13 or 14 months ago, you questioned it.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's kind of the way of the times right now.
So the second home,
yeah.
I would not have thought
yeah.
about that, yeah. especially if they didn't have a primary
right.
place of residence.
Right.
So,
because the common question we get is, I work in New York. I'm gainfully employed, Dean. We want to buy a house in Oklahoma. Good. What are you going to be doing in Oklahoma? I don't know yet. I don't have a job.
Yeah.
What do you want to put down? I want to go FHA or put 5% or. So then we're backed into a corner because we don't have Oklahoma employment to use to qualify them.
And Matt, we've had an increase, haven't we, in the amount of loan that you can get on FHA, VA, and conventional.
We have, yeah.
And
effective first of the year, correct.
And how much is the maximum you can get now? 530-some thousand?
Yeah, conventional is...
548 on conventional.
Yeah, and 356 FHA, 356-250. That's a lot of house in Oklahoma.
That is a lot of house. Mm-hmm. And that's particularly a lot of house for a first-time home buyer,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's a lot of house.
That's a lot. And we can go over which each of those are, and we have some great information coming up that you don't want to miss on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. If you want to call in and be a part of the show and ask questions, we have our money men, Matt McLean and Dean Riddell of SWBC Mortgage. You can give us a call at 840-1000, 840-1000.
Well, and SWBC Mortgage, you guys have like your numbers that you have to give, your NMLS numbers? Dean?
NMLS 196-895.
Matt?
License number 119-7740.
Okay. Whew. We got lots of license numbers out there. We have fulfilled our requirement. But we're talking about mortgages and different things. Something we've never talked about before yet in depth is escrow accounts. And escrow accounts analysis each year, people's house payment might go up $200 a month. And they just get so confused over that. So how does it work, Dean?
So first quarter of every year, and the part with Matt and I is that SWBC, we service our loans. So we make ourselves available to answer those escrow-related questions. Why did my payment go up $20? Why did my payment go up $200? And so obviously, the two components that make that math move are your taxes and your insurance. So some people struggle with, I see that my insurance went up $1,000. In their eyes, you know, Dean, why is my payment going up X? I see that my insurance moved up $1,000, my annual premium, from what we had planned on it or projected it to be, adverse to what it actually was paid out for in 2020. But we still have to look 12 months ahead to make that projection for 2021 that premium is going to be $3,000 again. So they're not just, it's not a simple math of my payment went up $1,000 divided by 12. Why is my payment not only going up $80, it's going up $160, $170.
Right, because the fact is you're already behind a year on that extra premium. And then you have to start saving up 1/12 every month.
Based on that new premium amount.
Yeah. So the first time, especially on new homes, so on new construction, that they underestimate taxes on that usually. And then when the real tax bill comes in, it's pretty staggering. And it's not unusual for a house payment to go up quite a lot. Well, $150 a month.
Yeah, and on the subject of new construction, and Matt, chime in, but the biggest breakdown a lender can do is set their payment up based on lot only.
Okay?
So, I mean, there's two people last year in the fourth quarter last year that we refinanced that purchased in March, April of 19. Their lender set their payment up on lot only. Taxes for year-end 19 were lot only, but year-end 20, they got notice that it were going to $4,000 a year. One of them's monthly tax portion was $17 going a month, going towards taxes, to where they called and said, should we refinance? And they had no idea what was going on. And I said, what's going on with your taxes? Well, it's new construction. And I said, if you don't refinance, your payment's going to go up $500-$600. And lo and behold, we refinanced, and the day that we closed one of them, she had just received her escrow analysis from her current servicer, and her payment was going up $550 a month. That's a month. So that lot-only issue on new construction is a big deal. What we do is we collect escrows based on lot that set their payment up unestimated.
Well, and some mortgage companies have not, they have a policy of the taxes have to be, what is it, confirmed, or what's by the county,
right?
And they can only set it up on that, and that's their company policy. Well, that's just setting it up for failure, because if you're buying new construction, chances are your taxes are $4,000 a year or more, and if they set that up on lot only, your taxes will be
$16, $17 a month, $200 a year, or $150 a year.
Right, which is, you will be
sunk.
Significant shortage.
Yep.
Yes. I mean, you know, $7,000 behind, so your payment's going to be a lot.
Yep.
Yeah.
It is.
If you want to be a part of our conversation here, just give us a call, and we do have a caller on the line. Good morning, Martha.
Good morning. My friend is qualified for $250,000. She started looking for a home about a month ago, going to $225,000, $230,000 listed homes. Well, she offered asking price and paying everybody's closings, things like that, but then the home would sell for $250,000. So if you're, for like, you know, $10,000, $20,000 over. If it was listed for $250,000, it might sell for $270,000. So if you're qualified for $250,000, what price range do you start looking for a home, assuming you can actually buy one? Thank you.
Well, this would be a realtor question.
It's a great question, Martha. You have to look between $200,000 to $250,000. I mean, you look at what are the needs that your friend has, and you get to the whole range, and you start there, and then you go up above $250,000.
Well, you can't go above $250,000. That's what she's qualified
right.
for.
But you look at what's there.
Right.
And then you present and go, here's what's out there, what's meeting your need. And if you find one that's at $225,000, $230,000, you build a strategy to make your best offer. And you have to just simply go, this is the best shot. A lot of buyers are used to, they think they're going to go back and forth. Like, I'm going to make an offer, and then they're going to come back to me and going to, you know, with a, and then we're going to meet in the middle somewhere. That is not what's happening in our market.
That's a pretty old-timey way of thinking.
You have to go, here's the best strategy for giving you the best shot at purchasing the home that meets your needs.
And you're going to have to pay above list price most of the time. The mm-hmm. thing is some realtors still are not current on their pricing, and they're going to have built in, like I went to a listing appointment day before yesterday, and I said, what kind of, we went over the comparables and went over the competition, and I said, what kind of price in your mind are you thinking? And they said, well, we would rather you give us a price. I said, oh, well, I'm going to give you the same price no matter what you say, because the price is the price. And they said, well, let's list at $400,000 and sell for $375,000. I said, well, your $375,000 is correct, but we will list at $375,000.
Mm-hmm.
Because you right now you put no – a good realtor isn't going to put any leeway in there. Because you're going to sell it for every penny it's going to appraise for,
mm-hmm.
usually plus some. So, Martha, you've got to get with a great realtor that knows the market. And every time, I mean, agents in my office, we require it of ourselves. I require it of agents as a broker. You must do a market analysis every time an offer is made.
Yeah.
We keep it in our record as to what it is, because we don't want low appraisals. We don't want to leave any money on the table. We want to be very smart so that people, buyers can actually get the home that they're going after. And sellers get every penny they can get for their home. Right?
That's exactly right. Yeah.
So.
And Becky, let me touch on one thing too, on your escalation comment.
Right.
That kind of can tie into Martha's question as well. Let's say they offer $260,000, because in the addendum they agreed to go up to X dollars for the highest dollar,
right?
You know, plus $5,000, plus $1,000. Say it appraises for $250,000.
Right.
They're financing. Let's say they're putting 20% down. Their financing falls off the lesser of the sales price or appraised value. So
right.
So they offered $260,000, it appraised $250,000, their 20% down falls off the $250,000. They still got to cover the difference between
in cash
to seller.
Right.
That question comes up a lot because people think their $260,000 or their 20% is going to fall off that sales price. The answer is no, it's the lesser of the two.
Right. So long story short, you've got to get with a realtor that understands financing and absolutely knows the market. Because we do this all the time. We strategize can we get our buyers' offers accepted. And sometimes you can just offer more earnest money so that they know you're a strong buyer. Other times you can, well, one of our biggest secrets that we use is SWBC signatures on the bottom of a pre-qualification letter. Every realtor in Oklahoma City definitely respects that.
Hope that helps, Martha. And we're going to come back with more ideas on how you can get the house of your dreams on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, here with Becky Ivins and our money men, Dean Riddell and Matt McLean from SWBC Mortgage. Our word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call at 728-3700. That's 728-3700. Becky, what's our word of the day?
Well, we've been talking about escrow accounts, so how about escrow?
Escrow accounts. So a definition of escrow account is an account maintained by your mortgage servicer to pay bills such as property taxes, homeowner's insurance, flood insurance if required, and mortgage insurance if required. A portion of each monthly payment goes into your escrow account and is dispersed to pay your property taxes and insurance premiums when they become due.
So you start out with a couple of months, 2 or 3 months of
reserves.
Reserves, mm-hmm. Yes, because you kind of need to pay the taxes when due, and you need to pay your insurance before it expires, right?
Right.
But can they change insurance companies? A lot of people think they cannot change insurance companies once they have made that, because the mortgage company just keeps paying it automatically.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Dean and I, we field calls quite frequently, particularly this time of year, as a result of the escrow analysis. And so people absolutely will look into new insurance or perhaps shop their insurance. So, yes, it can be done.
Yeah. And, you know, in days of old, not all that long ago, but you would get short rated on your insurance. Like if you changed your insurance in the middle of the year, they would take 20% off the top and prorate the rest of it. And now they can't do that. The insurance department or commissioner or whatever. Anyway, it got changed to where now it's a literal proration.
That is correct.
So there's no, in the middle of the year sometimes, or in the middle of your insurance year, you can change insurance companies. Doesn't cost you any extra.
You know, and the one thing I would encourage every homeowner to do is when you get that renewal every year, because you'll get that renewal before we do, open up that correspondence, check that email, whatever it may be, look at your new premium, compare it to what it was 12 months prior. If there is a breakdown in homeownership, people do not keep up with their escrow items. And they default to the mindset of, it's in my mortgage payment, I'm not going to worry about it.
Right.
2 years down the road, 3 years down the road, I'll get the phone call that says, Dean, my payment's $300 higher today compared to when we closed. And I'll say, you know, have you checked your taxes and insurance? No. And it's something that's easy to manage to. It's their money. It's all about discipline, Becky. And people have got to look at that correspondence and compare it to where it was 12 months prior. They'll be surprised. They'll be surprised.
Right.
And if you haven't checked a comparable insurance quote, give Brad Russell a call at State Farm. Go to BeckyIvins.com, click on Becky's Favorites, and you'll see all the contact information. And you need to check, because it's amazing how much insurance rates change from year to year.
Yes.
I think it goes back, was it 5, 6, or 6 years ago, the 3-year winters that we had of wind, hail, and ice. That's when we saw the dynamics change of insurance, because prior to that, everyone was kind of lumped up together,
mm-hmm.
you know, off $100, $200. Quotes today can be $1,500 off.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a gentleman in my office this week buying a $400,000 house. His insurance quote was $5,600 a year. So I encouraged him to shop. He found insurance at $2,300 a year. Well, guys,
it's amazing.
That's $250 a month.
Right.
Strictly by insurance.
I would be careful of that low of insurance. Make sure that guy actually has a policy in mind.
No, and you know, all of us in this room are not, cheapest is not the best.
Right.
And that's where some people's mentality is I want the cheapest premium. No, you don't. You want the best coverage, best company, best policy, you know, best premium, you're okay.
Especially in Oklahoma, where, I mean, the home insurance is just used, like we talked with Larry Robbins last week, Robbins Roofing, of how many homes are replaced out of pocket and not out of insurance.
All right, you better have insurance.
You better have good insurance on a roof. We just had hail come through yesterday.
Right.
It's that time of year.
So, yeah, in fact, if you were a victim of the hail, call Robbins Roofing, 728-3700. It's real easy, by the way, to find all the numbers. If you go to BeckyIvins.com, there's a tab at the top right that says Becky's Favorites, and nobody pays to be on that page. These are vendors that we have used so many times, and we have great faith that they are going to do the right job for the right price and be dependable. And so they've worked for me for a long time, or they don't get on that page. So go to BeckyIvins.com and look at my favorites. And you can find all the phone numbers, links to their web pages and such like that. So.
Yep. Okay, guys. Help Matt and I out. Seller paid closing costs.
Oh.
Okay.
No.
I mean, let's talk. I'm saying the pendulum seems to have shifted.
Oh, well, it has shifted, quite some time.
Yeah.
Yes. 6 months ago, about 91% of the buyers had in our normal price ranges, which is hovering in that $150,000 to $300,000 range, 91% of the sellers helped pay the buyer's closing cost.
Wow.
Now, I'm sure it's less than 9%. I think that flip-flopped, if not zero, because we've not seen the sellers paying closing costs. You're not competitive, and you don't get your bid if you have to have closing costs. And it's very sad, particularly for the veterans who have not saved up because they move too often, and they can't get the equity from their house.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've got the expense of selling their house. And so they come with no money, even though they've got great credit, and that just the, you know, PCSing, those of you who know military life, that's permanent change of station, they don't have equity, typically. So they have to have their closing cost paid. Can you just increase the cost of the appraisal and put those closing costs in there?
In our eyes, I mean, and your VA comment is, I mean, it's a standard no. We have no dialogue communication with that VA appraiser because VA dictates that. So that VA appraisal dictates it, you know, value.
Mm-hmm.
And so it all gets back to that contract, too. You know, similar to that VA buyer, I had two buyers, great first-time buyers, have $5,000 to the name, want to use a grant. My mom and dad sent me to you. I want the seller to pay cost. Well, you know, guys, that's not happening today.
You're not going to get the bid on a house.
Right.
If there's, okay, recently I had listed a house that was, I listed it for $140,000. Now, the seller thought it should sell for $120,000. Small, little two-bedroom, one-bathroom house. And I said, I'm going to get you 140 for this. And by the way, that's not because I'm so awesome. That's because that's what the market will, you will get 140 for this house. And they said, well, so long as you, you know, get me about 120, I'm good. And I thought, no, we will get your money worth out of it. So we put it on the market on a Friday, which we do a lot, and let it be shown over the weekend. And then Monday after work, we present. I said, if we get an offer over the weekend or if we get more than one offer over the weekend, we will put it in the multi-list that we're going to present the offers to you Monday after work. So I called him and I said, do you have time to come to the office because we have 9 offers to go over with you? The least of those offers was list price of 140. And they went up to 165. And by the time he got there, we had 14 offers to go over with him. And so now he took one that he did not take the highest one, because it was an FHA, and we knew it wouldn't appraise for that money. So he took the cash, which was less. And people are probably, that realtor is probably thinking that her offer was not even presented because she'll see now what it's closed for and will think, well, that she didn't even present my offer. So that everybody knows the offer was presented. There is a place on our contract, the last page of our contract form, that says, I decline the offer and there will be no counteroffer. So I got his signature on every one of those contracts forms to say, we're not going to take yours, thank you, but no, thank you. We took another offer. And there's a lot of discussion amongst realtors as to when you have all these offers, how do you put it into, how do you treat every realtor right? So do you put, say you've got 25 offers, which that has happened, and 35 offers has happened in our office. And so you kind of want to post it as pending right away, so that realtors don't waste their time going and showing something that you've already signed an offer on. However, when you put it pending, those other 34 offers go, well, you could have had the decency to at least call me and let me know that it was sold before my client saw it as pending. So there's a fine line there. And there's ways to handle that, and I'm sure all of us do our best.
It is, and one of the tough is that those go straight to the client sometimes because the MLS just goes in. So because our website, it updates them continuously, which is great. But we'll come back with how do you get your offer and how do you get your offer accepted in this multiple offer situation. And SWBC Mortgage is a big part of that. When we come back on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, and we're talking all things mortgage. We're landing the plane here today talking about mortgages and the unique situation that we're in. And boy, you really need a local lender to walk with you.
I will tell you. How do you get your offer? We've talked about this before, but realtors, listen up here. To get your offer accepted, use the Real Estate Commission does not like, by the way, they do not like the escalation clause. It says right on the form that they wrote, that is the escalation addendum, that the Real Estate Commission doesn't like the escalation clause. And
it's a strange thing.
Well, I love the escalation clause because our buyers win.
Yes. Well, the buyer asks I get this question all the time of, Mark, how high is the other offer going to be? And I say, dear buyer, I have no idea.
Well, you can't
You don't know.
So use the escalation clause and go up to the maximum that you're willing to go.
That you're willing to go. And that's exactly in what we're talking about FHA loans. I had an FHA loan win this week out of seven, and we used the escalation clause on it, and we went to the maximum that I thought it could possibly appraise for, and then went slightly above that because they said, okay, we can pay maybe $2,000, maybe $3,000 of a difference if it doesn't appraise for that, but we can't pay more. And so I said, so if it goes to, I'll just use the number 175, and it, you know, you go up to 175 and it goes for 176, you know, you gave it your best shot. There's nothing else you can do. We go find you another home. They said, yeah, exactly. I said, perfect. We're going to do it up to 175, and they won.
Yeah, and the higher the earnest money check, the better off your offer is. Mm-hmm. We got an offer this week with a $500 earnest money check on a $200,000 home. And I didn't say anything to the seller. I would have said something to the seller, but I didn't have to say anything. She goes, does someone seriously think we're going to take our house off the market for $500? And earnest money matters because the buyer can just walk the day of closing and lose only $500. Not a smart thing to take a small earnest money check. You need, in my, you know, it's your deal, you get to choose, but you need at least 1% of the cost of the house in earnest money. And recently I wrote one that said, well, let's just make this a better offer. Let's just put up $40,000 as earnest money. I said, you better really like this house because you'd lose that if you back out. You can't. You got to be prepared to walk away if you don't want it.
Yeah. I had one offer this week that we did 2%.
Yeah.
Just
2%
just
of the price. So if it's $200,000, that's a $4,000 check.
They had it. They wanted to say it was serious, and they and made it. And it's those things. And, you know, we had a caller earlier, Martha, who was talking about her friend. That's where you have to come up with the strategy that fits the buyer to give them the best chance.
And, Dean, you were saying that not only do you give the pre-qualification letter to your buyers, but you will call the listing realtor and say, we've qualified this buyer, we've already verified the down payment, we've got the credit report run, we've already got everything done. So that way you end up, and your name means something in our mortgage industry here. I mean, Matt and you both, SWBC, means something because you don't give that pre-qualification if they can't qualify.
Right.
You know? So we appreciate you guys being here today.
Well, thank you.
Everybody, remember to come out tomorrow and see me at the open house. Just go to 125th and North Council and follow the arrows from there.
Follow the arrows or go to BeckyIvins.com. And we'll be back next week on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK.